Thank you, Daryl. Paula and Jonathan, that's good stuff. We desperately need him, don't we? All right. It's cold in them hills this morning, isn't it? Boy, I tell you, isn't it something? It's already Thanksgiving. Jeepers. Are you all ready for Thanksgiving? Family all getting together, that's always fun, isn't it? Most of the time, anyways, right? I just can't believe it's already here. It just seems like it's just flying. Christmas is coming. The 21st of December, we're taking up that special offering for the Jesus Birthday Project. So what we do here is we take up an offering for the children in this community and also some families in this church. And we whatever we spend on our children, that's what we give. Whatever we spend on our own kids, that's how much we give to the Jesus Project. Because it's Jesus' birthday, right? It's not our birthday. So we get children from children's services that won't have anything, and we help them out. And then there's families within the church that need some assistance. And so that's what the Jesus Birthday Project is all about. And that's really what it is about. It's his birthday, not ours, right? So it kind of takes the focus and refocuses it. And that's the whole idea. So December 21st is when we'll be doing that. So get ready, right? Because you know what? That puts things in balance. It really does. Because that's what it's about. All right. So did y'all get your exercise this week? No? Yes? No? All right. Well, keep it up, right? I always have to throw that in, especially around these holidays, you know? And cookies and pies and things start screaming at you. We gotta keep moving, don't we? I didn't get my 30 miles in. I got 28 in, so, but the day's not over yet, right? All right. So, what we've been talking about? Huh? Hope, right? We've been talking about hope, and hope is what? It's one of the keys of the kingdom. It's one of the keys of the kingdom. So, Jesus said, I've given you the keys of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 16. And we've been looking at, before we got on to hope, we were looking at seeing the kingdom. That would be vision. So one of the keys is vision. And now we're looking at one of the keys is hope. And hope is one of the keys that unlocks things from heaven to bring to earth. Because that's what we're to do. We're to bring heaven to earth, right? On earth as it is in heaven. And so that's the prayer Jesus taught us. And so hope, it does that. And so when you have hope, you're bringing something to earth that a lot of people don't have. And right now, I tell you, you can hear it in people's conversations and see it all around. That a lot of people don't have a lot of hope, do they? But we got hope. We're full of it, right? I mean, really. We gotta get a hold of that and know that we got something for them, right? I really get stirred up with this idea of hope because it just really has a way of protecting your soul and keeping you no matter what's going on out here. If you got this in you and working in you, it just really has a way of protecting you. It is definitely a key. A key of the kingdom. So, why don't you go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 4 and 5.
Okay.
Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the what? Hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather together. Lord, we just thank you for your presence. And Lord, we do need you. We desperately need you in this hour. So Lord, speak to our hearts and minds this morning. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding. And Father, just that hope that we have. So Father, we can take this hope to the world. On our jobs, in our families, wherever we go. Father, we thank you what you're doing this morning. We thank you what you're going to continue to do. Now we just trust you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that none of us will remain the same because we've been in your presence and we've received revelation, knowledge, and understanding of who you are. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. Now, what's he say? He says, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints because of the hope. So love and faith comes from hope. Love and faith comes from hope. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So without hope, you can't have faith, right? We established that last week. Without faith, without hope, you can't have faith. And faith is like the revenue, it's what moves things in heaven. So we need faith as well, but it begins with hope. So we got to understand this concept and this idea and this principle of hope. Okay? And we have hope because of the hope which is where? Laid up in heaven. It's stored up in heaven, or it's reserved in heaven. That word laid up means reserved. It's reserved or stored up. So we have a continuous supply of hope. We always have hope. We never run out of hope. It's laid up in heaven for the believers. Okay? And now look, I like to read, this is the NIV version. It says, the faith and love that springs from hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about the word of truth. So faith and love is stored up in heaven. All right? Faith and love springs from the hope that's stored up. So here's how it works. Faith and love springs from the hope that's stored up. When you tap into that hope and God speaks, now faith rises up in you and love rises up in you. You see that? And so that's what we need. And as we tap into this hope and we walk in this hope, because God is a God of hope, right? Romans 15:13. God is a God of hope and not a God of faith. A lot of people think he's a God of faith, but nowhere does it say he's a God of faith. It says he's a God of hope. All right? Now, let's look at this. I'm just going to recap just a little bit. The greatest tragedy in life is not death, because the greatest tragedy is to be without hope. Because if you have hope, death, remember Jesus, you know, he faced death with confidence because he had hope. He had the promise that God had given to him, right? Because hope is based on a reliable promise. So death really has no power over you when you understand hope. You can have death in a business. You can have death in a marriage. You can have death in finances. You can have death. But if you have hope, you're going to rise again, right? We're all going to have tomb experiences in life. And we're all going to have experiences of hell in life. But if we have hope, there will be a resurrection. Are you with me? Hope always gives life. Always. Always, always. When we understand it. Now watch this. Hope There is something heaven knows about your future that can make your present peaceful. There is something heaven knows. That's where it's stored up. It can make your present peaceful. That's why when we go to God, remember we talked about prayer and we talked about humility. When we go to God, we can no matter what our situation is, we can have a good time in a bad situation when we've gone to God with it. Remember, it breeds confidence. It makes you self-confident. It makes you understand who you are. It helps you to understand who you are, right? He gives grace to the humble, right? He's going to empower the humble, the one who's dependent on him. Now, if I have hope, if you have hope, you can have a good time in a bad situation because you know and have heard the word of truth. Now, hope is believing something someone told you that hasn't happened yet. Hope is believing something someone told you that hasn't happened yet. And your belief is based on the reliability of the source of that promise. Of the source of that promise. Of the source of that promise. Hope is the source of motivation. Hope is the fuel for optimism and persistence. You can be optimistic with pessimists all around when you have hope. Don't we need this today? There's a lot of pessimists out there rising up because of what they're seeing on TV and seeing in the news. But folks, listen, we don't live by that, do we? Our hope is based on the kingdom of God, and it's not based on the United States government. Your supply is going to come from the kingdom of God. Your needs are going to be met through the kingdom of God, not the United States government. That's what we got to let that be a reality, because we are citizens of heaven, it says in Philippians chapter 3. And hope is laid up for us, where? In heaven. And we're to bring it to earth to others. Now, this is what hope means. Hope is an expectation, a confidence, a trust. It is a confident expectation. That's what hope is. Hope is a confident expectation. Now, everybody say, we have hope. All right. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 3. I just absolutely love this portion of Scripture here. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Okay? Who was given to us. Now, think about this. And now, and not only that, we also glory, what? In tribulations. All right. We glory in tribulations. Now, the Hebrew meaning of the word glory means what God originated and intended. And now, here's the Greek meaning. It means to wish for or to desire, the word glory. So we glory in tribulations. We wish for or we desire. Or what God originated and intended comes through what? Tribulations. What are tribulations? Huh? Trouble. Trouble. Boy, there's trouble all around us, isn't there? That's the right environment for the glory of God and what God originally intended for you to come out of you. And he says he wants you to desire it. He wants you to wish for it. Why? Because of what it produces. You see, that's the idea. See, we're from another place. But we're on the radio too. So this is good, isn't it? Oh, maybe we'll have to edit some of that. That's all right. But the idea is, listen, folks, we are different, right? We're a special people. You're special, right? That word special means possessed by God. You're possessed by God, right? You're different. So we glory in tribulations because of what it produces. Remember what the word tribulation is taken from? The word tribulum. And the tribulum was a farming instrument that you'd scrape this pointed farming instrument over the wheat and the chaff, and it would separate the wheat from the chaff, and the fruit would remain. And that's the idea. That's what God does with the trouble. He gets the good out of you so he can use it. Because that's really all he wants, is the good that's in you, to bring it out so he can use it to benefit someone else. Are you catching this? That's why you can't get hurt in church. Because if you get hurt, you got to understand that God is doing something. Sometimes we get hurt in church, don't we? And you get broken. Well, that's what Jesus said. This is my body broken for you. If you're in the body, you're being broken for who? For someone else. A lot of times what you go through and when you get hurt in church, it's actually to benefit someone else. Come on now. Are you seeing this? That's why you can't get hurt in church and blame somebody and run off and take your marbles and go home. You have to understand that God is doing something. And when we understand that, it changes the whole picture. It changes the whole picture. It changes how you act. It changes you what benefits in you, and you prospering, and the kingdom of God advancing in your life. It changes that. That's why when we understand, boy, it just, in all you're getting, get what? Understanding. Understanding does what? It delivers you from the evil way in Proverbs chapter 2. Now think about this. We glory in tribulations. And tribulations does what? It produces perseverance. What's perseverance? Perseverance is not patience. Perseverance is more of a long term. Patience is like it's like waiting in the bank, you know, behind the bank in the bank line, or waiting in the Wendy's line. That's what patience. It's a contentment while waiting, or patience could be, you know, a week or, you know, a few months. But when you get in beyond a few, you're getting into perseverance now. Perseverance is a longer haul, right? Perseverance means cheerful endurance. In other words, God wants you to have a good attitude while you're going through something. God wants you to have a good attitude. Now, remember, we're not talking about patience. You know, we all want patience, but we want it now, right? But patience is not what we're talking about. We're talking about perseverance. And perseverance is for the long haul. It's the long trial. It's the long trial. Remember, Joseph was in prison for 13 years, and that's where he had to persevere. He had to persevere in that time period. And if you look at Joseph's life, he had every reason to get discouraged. His brothers sold him into slavery. They put him in a pit. And he was accused of raping Potiphar's wife. He had every reason to be bitter and discouraged. But here he is in prison, persevering, right? Persevering. Ultimately, he continued to do the right thing and got wrong results. Any of you experienced that? You keep doing the right thing, but you get wrong results? God says it's time to persevere. If you continue to persevere, why? Because this is the order of things. We glory in tribulations. Tribulations produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. Hope does not disappoint. Hope appoints you. So the idea is perseverance, watch this, is fighting the battle while waiting with contentment. It's fighting the battle while waiting with contentment. It's being obedient in a negative situation. Now watch this. And you know what? Now get a hold of this. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, "He who hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock. When the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Then he goes on to say, "He who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. For when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, great was its fall." Now, here's my point. Jesus said, "He who hears these words of mine and does them and obeys it." When the storms come, your house is going to stand. In other words, we have this idea that because we obey God, storms don't come. Storms come anyways, even when you obey God. Did you get that? And that's perseverance. Storms come even though you obey God. And that's what God is doing. He's developing that perseverance. Because the perseverance produces something that you're going to need for the destiny that God has for you. It's producing something, the character to support the destiny God is taking you to. And here's the thing. A lot of times when we get into difficult, we want to blame somebody else for our not reaching our destiny. And no one can take your destiny or thwart your destiny but you. Only you. No one can keep you out of God's will but you. And that's what we have to understand. Now, remember when Joseph was in prison? Remember we talked about last week, we talked about deferred hope? Deferred hope. Hope deferred makes the what? Heart sick. It makes the heart sick. So what happens is we know that Joseph, he didn't have deferred hope. He persevered and continued to do the right thing. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 40, verse 6 and 7, it says that Joseph saw that the butler and the baker were sad. Did you hear that? Joseph saw that the butler and baker were sad. Now, that's significant. You see, a lot of times when we have to persevere through things, we can get moody and get these attitudes and get focused on ourselves. Think about this. But Joseph didn't. Deferred hope is self-pity. Joseph didn't have self-pity. Because if Joseph had self-pity, he wouldn't have recognized that the butler and the baker were sad. Because when you're full of self-pity, you don't recognize other people's problems. You're too busy focused on your own problems. But Joseph went and he ministered to the butler and the baker and interpreted their dreams. He used his gift to minister to them in the prison. You see that? And Joseph continued on. See, that's the idea. When you're going through something, the best, one of the greatest things you can do is minister to someone else. That is one of the greatest things you can do when you're going through something, is to begin to minister and help someone else. That is the way you're going to get out of your dilemma. But when you get self-pity, that's deferred hope. It's going to make you sick. You see that? When you have deferred hope, your hope is to get out of the circumstances. Circumstances may not change when you want them to, or how you want them to. Your hope has to be in God. And when your hope is in God, you know that He is working on your behalf. He is working on your behalf. And see, what happens is we'll allow injustices and we'll allow things that happen to us to get us sidetracked and away from the plan and purpose of God. But when we're focused and we have hope, we stay to the plan. Did you see that? When we have hope, we stay connected to the plan and purpose. Because the injustices and all that, the wrongdoing and whatever, it's not taking us out. God will keep using you to take you, to get you to your destiny. Because He's going somewhere with your life. And that's why we need each other, and that's why we have to gather together, and that's why it's so important that we come together and understand this. Because when you understand this, you're going to reach your destiny. You can reach, it's inevitable, you will reach it. But we need each other, and we need to understand how this perseverance thing works, because it's developing the character you need to get to your destiny and stick and stay in your destiny. Doesn't that make sense? Does it or not? Come on. All right. Joseph, something about Joseph was that he did not allow the injustice of his situation to stop the work of God in his life. No matter how difficult or unfair his circumstances seemed to be, Joseph allowed God to continue to use him. And that's the same way it's going to happen in our life. It's the same way it's going to happen in our life. You see, folks, God is allowing the heat. He's turning it up, right? When we're persevering, God allows heat in our life. And He wants us dependent on Him. And He's refining us. And he's developing what? The character. Remember, character and gold are like synonymous. Gold is pure, and that's what God's trying to do. He's trying to get your character pure. He's trying to get your character. And what happens in the refining of gold? They have to remove the impurities. The word refine, it says in Isaiah that we have been refined, and in Malachi also, chapter 3, that God is going to refine us like gold. He's going to refine us like gold. Refine means to be free from impurities. You see, in a long trial, a lot of stuff can emerge in that time period. And that's what happens. That's why it's painful. A lot of stuff can, and that's why Jesus had to learn obedience. It says He learned obedience by what? The things that He suffered. Well, I looked at that over and over, and how does Jesus learn anything? Well, He didn't have to in heaven when He was with the Father. Right? Because He was with the Father and everything was perfect. But now He's in the flesh. He has to learn some things, just like you and I. And it's painful, right? And He learned obedience. And obedience is learned character behavior. That's what obedience is. And Jesus had to learn it because He was tempted at all points as we are. And so we're going to have to learn it through suffering. And that's what happens in that perseverance period. We go through things, and we keep depending on Him, and we get through something, and God gives us grace, doesn't He? And then He wants to take out more impurities. He gets that ladle and says, "All right, I got a little more grace for you." And you look up and you say, "Wait a minute. I already learned that." He goes, "Well, I got a little more for you to learn. You don't know it all yet." Right?
Come on, is this making sense?
That's what's going on. That's a reality. And that's what we have to understand. Because, folks, we're not going to do this on our own. You're not going to do this on your own. You can get religious and just go be religious, right? But I'm going to tell you what, that has no power. It has no power, and it's going nowhere, and it's not leaving any kind of legacy behind it. It's empty. There's a lot of churches that are empty today because of religion. Big, beautiful, multi-million dollar buildings empty because of religion. Religion has no power. But relationship with God has power. And that's what He wants. And that's what He's looking for from all of us. Relationship. And that's what, and that's destiny. Now watch this. So character, character produces hope. Okay. Now, tribulations produce perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. Nowhere else in the Bible does anything produce hope. Nowhere. It has to be in that order, and that's the way it is. God is a God of order, and He has a way of doing things. And the more we understand that, the more life we begin to experience. The more life we begin to experience. Hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Now, think about that. If hope doesn't disappoint, what does it do? It appoints. It appoints. The prefix dis means no or not. It means no or not, or also means to undo. So, have any of you been disappointed? Well, when you're disappointed, it means you've missed an appointment that God has for you. You've missed an appointment that God has for you. And God, and hope, you know what it does? It produces divine appointments. Divine appointments. When you have that hope, it gets you to the divine appointment that gets you to your destiny. Hope does not disappoint. But it appoints. It appoints when we have hope. Oh, I tell you what. In John 15, it talks about there's two vines, and it said one of them is producing fruit and the other one's not. And the one that's producing fruit gets pruned and the other one gets cut off. So the one that's producing fruit gets cut on, and the one that's does not produce fruit gets cut off. So you see how either way you're going to get cut on, right? Either way you're going to get cut on. And that's the way it is. So the idea is, let this process take place, and folks, life comes, new life. And that's what happens. You begin to experience new life. God wants you to experience the life that He created you for. That's what He's refining you back to what He created. Getting rid of that stuff that doesn't belong and only believing the stuff that belongs. He's refining you. Now think about this. Now, hope is not for the future. Hope is for now. Hope is for now. A lot of people think hope is all about the future, but hope is for now. Hope is for now. Hope is not just for the future. Hope is believing that God is working everything out for our good right now. Hope is believing that God loves us and that He is going to take care of us right now, regardless of the circumstances around us. Hope is believing that we are in the center of God's will now. Hope is not about the future. Hope is now. Hope is believing God is with us right now, no matter what trial we face. That's hope. That's hope. Now, go with me real quick to Hebrews chapter 6. Let's look at verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to what? Lie. That word immutable means unchangeable. That by two unchangeable things, two, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the what? Hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. This hope we have as an anchor. He says that he has two immutable. In other words, because it, and if you back up into verse 17, it says it was confirmed, he confirmed it by an oath. An oath was a spoken promise and a written promise. That means it was a double promise. And it says that God cannot lie. God cannot lie. What is hope based on? A reliable promise, right? God has given us a double promise that we have this hope. And the hope is the anchor of our soul. I remember reading that when sailors got into a big storms, the first thing they got out was their anchor. And when they got out their anchor would keep them steady in the midst of that storm. Well, you see, that's what happens. It's the anchor of our soul. Our soul is where our emotions are. And our emotions want to take us places and get us out of the will of God when we get all wrapped up in what's all around us. But when that takes place, we get out our hope because it's the anchor of our soul. It will keep you steady and in God's place and God's plan. You see that? Because with all that's going on around us, you're going to have some hope, and it's the anchor of your soul. Come on. You see that? It is. I'm here to tell you. I don't care. If I didn't know this, I couldn't do this. Do you hear me this morning? If I didn't understand this and believe this with all my heart, I couldn't be up here talking to you about it. We got hope, folks, and it's the anchor of our soul. No matter what we face, when we understand this, we have hope. Now watch this. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, and look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our what? Our hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. What's the word confession mean? It means to say the same thing. So we're to say the same thing that God says. Let us hold fast and say the same thing about our hope that God says. That's what that's saying. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without what? Wavering. Wavering. That's like those waves tossed to and fro. Wavering. For he who is promised is faithful. You see, he who is promised is faithful. Let us hold fast. Why do we have to hold fast to the confession of our hope? Because something is trying to take it away from you. There's something trying to take your hope from you. That's why you got to hold fast to it. You got to hold fast with everything you have, every inch of your, everything you have. Hold fast to the hope that God has given you. Don't let anything take it away from you. And then he says, and let us consider one another and stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves, all the more as we see the day approaching. See, that's why we gather together. We're stirring each other up. We're stirring each other up to have this hope. All the more as we see the day approaching. What day? The day of Christ. That day, that word day is the capital D, and it means the day of Christ. That's what that's talking about. That's why it says in Titus chapter 2, we're to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who loved us and gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Are you zealous to do all he's calling you to do? When you have hope, you're going to be busy in God. Are you with me today? I know I'm preaching. We're to be looking for the blessed hope. And that's why we get together. We stir each other up because of the day, the capital D. That's the day of the Lord, his return. When is it going to happen? I don't know. I'm not even all concerned about it. I'm going to stay ready now because my hope is now, right? It's not in the, it's now. And we can be ready now. Y'all all right? I got to have this. This is what gets you through. And it will get you through. I don't care what you're facing. You have hope. Daryl, we're going to do the song, and I got one word for you before we leave.